Fast Break Podcast, Episode 12, Monday, September 30th, 2024. What is going on, everybody? Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawhisenberg, DFS, joined by my co-host, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant. Mike, it's Media Day, baby. Here we go.
I love it. Media Day, overreaction to words that we hear or we don't hear. And what does it mean? It means the season's coming. I can hear the round ball rock. I can hear it coming in my ear. Can't wait to get going, Zach.
So we do have to start this episode of Fast Break, and maybe like we're episode 12, right? This is maybe going to be the most fast breaky of the episodes so far because of Media Day. We had a flurry of news last week as well, and some news this morning. And so again, starting today's episode on a bit of a somber note, RIP Dikembe Mutombo. It was announced this morning that Mutombo, of course, Hall of Fame, finger wagging center, right, as we knew him, has died of brain cancer at the age of 58. So I don't believe it was public knowledge that he was ill. And if it was, I missed it. But this was a shock this morning. And so I'm certainly feeling for the Mutombo family, the NBA family. But I know, again, he was kind of coming to the end of his career as I was, you know, as a youngster getting into the league. And Mike, there's, you know, a little age difference between you and I. So how did it feel? Obviously not great, but like, this is a guy we have so many great memories of, right?
Yeah, this one hit hard because Dikembe Mutombo really brought in the timeliness of the block to the early 90s. Came from Georgetown, went to Denver, mentioned it last time, the big upset of Seattle as an 8 seed, holding the ball on the floor, shaking it. Then he was in Atlanta, Philly for a little bit, the Knicks and Houston, but just the ability to block shots 4 years in a row, Zach, 3.5, 4.1, 3.9, 4.5. You don't see 4-point blocks anymore, really, in situations. Maybe your guy Wembanyama does. But besides, right? Besides that, Dikembe was great, and he was very rough when he entered the league as a scorer, but really developed a nice knack around the basket, was just an okay free throw shooter, but changed the game defensively. And you mentioned it. The big thing was everyone got posterized by Mutombo with the finger wag. He ended up doing a commercial with it, and he even got into the Jordan documentary there where he told it. He says, "You're not going to dunk on me, Mike." But of course, Mike goes out and dunks on him and wags the finger. But right. Rest in peace, Dikembe. You were fantastic. Great personality, larger than life, always a positive guy, and an elite rim protector. Really, before there were elite rim protectors, he couldn't really jump super high, but his timeliness on those blocks was incredible, even if he was off balance. So great player. Loved watching him play. Rest in peace, sir. Sad for the family, definitely.
Yeah, I think it says something that when you compare his shot blocking ability to another player, you bring up Victor Wembanyama, mm-hmm. who many people, again, call the alien, right? So that, again, shines a little bit of a light on how transformative Mutombo was, especially on the defensive end.
And the other thing is that, and the other thing is that Dikembe was stationary. So Wemby, obviously a superior athlete, long, can run, but Dikembe would just stand there and dare you to come at him and dunk on him. And more often than not, he got the better of it. So yeah, absolutely. What a memory. Yeah.
And I can date myself a little bit here, right? I mean, Nuggets, Hawks, Sixers for Mutombo, but I first remember him because, you know, I was 8, 9 years old around this time. Dikembe Mutombo, New Jersey Nets, NBA Finals 2003 against the Spurs. He was still out there at that point. So you know, an NBA legend gone too soon. Rest in peace, Dikembe. And now this piece of news dropped Saturday night. Or no, this was Friday night. Mm-hmm. It was a long weekend for me, Mike, celebrating the birthday.
Yeah, celebrate your birthday. Happy birthday. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yes,
So I'm out on Friday night. And Carl Anthony Towns is traded to the New York Knicks. So, again, our first big trade without Woj being in the mix, right? So that was our first experience without a Woj bomb in a big trade like this. But the Knicks will receive Carl Anthony Towns. Actually, at media today, it was made clear this trade is not done yet, right? So you go to the Knicks media day and you've got Jalen Brunson saying, "Carl who? We don't have a Carl on the team." And kind of playing around there. Josh Hart as well, but Knicks get Karl-Anthony Towns. The Timberwolves receive Julius Randle. Dante DiVincenzo. It's been reported that Kata Bates-Diop is also headed back to Minnesota. I believe that's where he started his NBA career. So again, like a tertiary piece of this trade, but it is involved nonetheless. Also a 2025 Detroit Pistons first round pick that is top 13 protected. And those protections mostly stay in place over the next three or four draft cycles. So no guarantee that that pick does convey. The Pistons would have to kind of get out of the lottery there for that to transfer to Minnesota, but another asset at their disposal to potentially trade on to another team this season or down the road. And I also saw, again, this is, trade is not final, so we don't know for sure, but I also saw a report that Charlotte will receive Daquan Jeffries and draft compensation that is yet to be named. So it looks like a three-team deal here, but again, the major moving pieces, Karl Anthony Towns to New York, Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo to Minnesota. What was your first take here, Mike? And I guess, is there a winner?
Gut reaction was huge win for the Knicks. That was my reaction. I dove into it a little bit. You know, you start to hear the rumors that Dante DiVincenzo wasn't thrilled with all the moves the Knicks made because it could cut into his playing time. He views himself, I think, as because of his playoff success, ascending to a major role. And that role was reduced given the new players that came in for the Knicks. I like Julius Randle. I think they went as far as you could with Julius Randle. The streakiness, the big shots, I get it. But then he disappears and struggles. Karl Anthony Towns is the best player in this deal all around. They have to give it a shot. He could be the missing piece. I understand the defensive liabilities. I understand all the issues here. But this is a team that has a foundation in defense with Thibodeau. He's going to get better. And this is a guy who I think can really take them to the next level as they try to get over the hump with a guy who can put in 30 to 35, three-point shooting, et cetera, get you that double-double. So my initial reaction, big win for the Knicks. I stay with it. Both teams win because Randle can do some nice things out there, and Dante DiVincenzo is an excellent piece. But Tyler Kolek, the Knicks were at a point where they could make this move and still recover.
Yeah, I'm with you. Again, I think both teams win in a sense, but Nerf gun to my head, pick one. It is also the Knicks for me because you know that the title window is open for them, right? They're going after it. We've known about that since the McCall Bridges trade, but we talked about on last week's episode the news about Mitch Robinson, right? Not going to be ready till December at the earliest. So this is a team without a true center, unless, right, you want to talk about starting Jericho Sims or somebody like that, right? That's not a title contending center. So it fills the immediate need. It also, again, a team that doesn't have a ton of elite shooting in their rotation. And you lose maybe the best shooter on the team in Dante DiVincenzo. To your point, bringing in Karl Anthony Towns can spread the floor out. He's going to be able to score the ball from all three levels. And it's a different style of player compared to Julius Randle, who, you know, is just, Karl Anthony Towns is a little bit more like, I'm going to catch and make my decision. Right. Julius right. Randle, couple rhythm dribbles, right? Getting to his little bop. And of course, a very good scorer. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Timberwolves can integrate him into what, again, a team that already made the conference finals on the Western Conference side of things last season. So I love the Dante DiVincenzo pickup for Minnesota. I love getting away from the two center look, right? Because Julius Randle can play a four. Mm-hmm. I could also see him being moved on. I don't know what type of market there is for a Julius Randle, but like, I don't think the fit is perfect. But if Julius Randle buys into what Chris Finch and the Timberwolves are selling here, right? Understand that you're not going to come in here and as a expiring contract with a player option tacked on to next year, you're not coming in here and you're not going to be the man, right? This is Anthony Edwards' team. You're going to have to play a role and you're going to have to really buy into that role to maybe secure that contract down the road. So I think it is a gamble by the Minnesota Timberwolves, but I applaud them for taking the gamble because you come up short last year. There's all kinds of questions about the you know, obviously, I'm biased against Rudy Gobert. I don't know if a team can win a championship with him as the center. But I think, again, they saw it kind of fall apart in the conference finals last year against Dallas. They didn't stand pat. A lot of teams would. And they went out and made this move. And they're trying to get a different look to get over that hump, win that last series in the conference finals, and make a finals appearance, which, right, would be the first time in franchise history. So I do applaud them for the move.
Zach, did you hear this rumor that they felt that they asked for Naz Reid and they refused to let Naz Reid go. I think one other person also, that would make sense. They're sitting there saying, look, we have Gobert. We like Naz. We've gone as far as we can with Karl Anthony Towns, but he's still a good enough scorer that we can get something back for him. And on the other side, Thibodeau, his system, wouldn't be surprised. Somebody sat him down, closed the room, goes, Tibbs, look, you need some more firepower on offense. Yeah. If you're really going to beat the Celtics and you're going to get to the finals here. So he signed off on it. Tibbs is going to try to make him a solid defender. And they have so much strength with Bridges and Hart and Brunson, everybody else, that I think this was a quality move. But I do think they had to make a decision and they chose Naz Reid.
Yeah. And again, like, we could sit here. I know this is the fast break and we got to keep things moving here in transition, but there's so many angles to this trade that, again, it's not even official yet. So we can't fully flesh out exactly how we feel, but one more thing on each side of it from me. I'm glad you brought up the Naz Reid piece because there was plenty of takes throughout last year where it's like, man, when Naz is out there, does this team even really drop 100%. Off that much, swapping 100%. Those two guys out? So yep. A great point brought up by you. And then on the Knicks side, you also bring up Coach Thibodeau. He's coached Karl Anthony Towns before, and it did not go great. So It'll be interesting to see those guys work together. And again, I talk about Julius Randle buying in on the Wolves side. Maybe Karl Anthony Towns has to do a little bit of that coming into Tibbs' system once again and kind of, again, running that back. This is season two, effectively, of the Tibbs-Cat pairing. Anything else for you on this trade before we move on? Because again, that's the big news of the week.
No, it's the big news of the week. I'm excited. Wanted to go through, and everything is better, Zach, in New York here when the Knicks are good. So they were great last year. That was a great ride, especially for our executives here at FTN. So I like the trade, and I want to see if we can get over the top. But I miss Dante. I may touch on Dante later in our stock-up.
Sure, sure. Well, they also, the Knicks, in a corresponding move, released Chuma Okeke, and our long-time FTN fantasy subscribers that know me know it warmed my heart to see Marcus Morris also getting released by the Knicks. My best friend there. Let's rip through some of the player news of the last week, and then we'll touch on some media day quotes here, Mike. My guy, my namesake, Kawhi Leonard, underwent an off-season knee procedure and will be, quote, limited to start training camp. So I want to ask you your level of concern, but not before adding that Kawhi at Media Day today said he expects to play in the opening night game.
Yeah, this is why when we do our best ball drafts, and I can't wait till we do another one, I get a little nervous about Kawhi Leonard, Zach. Again, when he plays spectacular, but I get concerned because, you know, they just don't know with him. And if I don't know and I'm uncertain and I can't pencil in for at least 65 games, I don't know if I want you on my team. Tremendous, outstanding. Is this concerning? A lot, very concerning to me for Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like I have the standard level of Kawhi Leonard concern, right? The knee issues is and has been a concern and will continue to be because we've known since his days in San Antonio. It's a degenerative knee issue. It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse as he continues to play. So, again, I think they're going to continue to manage it as they have for the last 5, 6, 7 years of his career. I expect another 60-ish games out of him. It did move him down in the best ball ranks a couple spots. A little flip-flop with Lauri Markkanen there in the low 30s.
Oh, that's the move, yes.
Yeah, but we'll keep our eyes on Kawhi as training camp progresses.
Zach, really quick, Kawhi, 33 years old. Only once in the last 4 years has he exceeded 57 games played. I'm just saying, Zach. I'm just saying.
Yep. And that was last year, right, where a couple guys, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, setting these new bars for themselves in terms of how many times they could suit up and hit the hardwood in a season. Speaking of guys who haven't hit the hardwood in a while, Steven Adams cleared to participate in Rockets training camp. What type of effect do you think he has on Houston this season?
I love him. You know I love him. 31 years old. Super efficient when he's on the court, doesn't do more than he needs to do. Rebound, second chances, offensive boards, great on boxing out. I love Steven Adams. I think this is the type of move that you bring into a team like Houston to help them to get consistency with the winning. Love the system, love his fit with the head coach. I'm a big Steven Adams guy, still only 31. Hopefully he's healthy. He said he's feeling outstanding. Great news for him, great news for the Rockets, and great news for my best ball shares.
Yeah, and we're big Steven Adams fans here, both of us. I second everything you said there, right? Because what does Houston have a ton of? Young talent. What do they short on? veteran leadership, right? So I'm completely with you. I think Steven Adams being there, even if his role in the rotation is relatively minor, right? You want to give a lot of minutes to Alper and Şengün. I just think his presence in the organization is going to be a big win for them. And I really think Steven Adams, like, he just screams like he's an Ime Udoka type of guy. Totally. I think his fit is going to be fantastic. Talking about end of the bench type of pieces, Golden State Warriors signed Kevin Knox. I don't think we need to touch on a ton here. Rotation piece at best, but good for Kevin Knox for, you know, sticking around in the league another year.
I don't like Kevin Knox. I didn't like him coming out of college with Kentucky. I get it, but I don't think this does much. Started his career, got up to 39% in 2021 with the Knicks, and from that point, just not good. He's gone 37, 31, 33, really struggling. Sure, can he get hot on a certain game? Absolutely. Poor man's Malik Monk. Very poor.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Bojan Bogdanovic, of course, now in New Jersey. Jeez Louise, Mike.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm with you. It's fine.
In Brooklyn, Bojan Bogdanovic, now a member of the Nets, reportedly will not be ready at the start of camp here for Brooklyn due to foot and wrist injuries. And you know what I think, Mike? I think this is a tanking injury. This is one of the few guys on their roster that they will be more than willing to part with between now and the trade deadline. So let's make sure Bojan stays healthy, wrap him in bubble wrap. We'll pick up a couple second round picks later in the season. Not surprised by this news at all.
Yeah, 35 years old. He's dropped his scoring three straight years, only 10 points per game last year. 3-point accuracy is going down. So his field goal percentage. That's his chance, is he's got to stay healthy. And so I agree with you. There's more to this than you think, because I don't think he's long for Brooklyn.
Vince Williams Jr. will miss at least 4 weeks with a stress reaction in his tibia. And, you know, we've talked about the Grizzlies, right? It was less than a month ago that G.G. Jackson broke his foot, underwent surgery, going to miss at least 2 months of the season. Now Vince Williams, he's going to miss at least all of training camp, if not the first few weeks of the season. And I really feel like if I'm a Memphis fan right now, I'm just getting flashbacks to last season's nightmare of course, the high-profile suspension, but then almost everybody with a name that you recognize missed extended time for Memphis last year. And they, again, you look at my futures article that I put out last week on FTNFantasy.com, I'm taking Memphis to be in the top six in the West at even odds on DraftKings. But this doesn't make me feel anything different than, is this team snake-bitten again?
Yeah, it reminds me of the Chargers in the NFL. I am high on the Grizzlies, same as you. Hopefully healthy jaw across the board. Vince Williams is impressive. Comes from VCU, great work ethic, improved his three-point shooting at 38% on 4 attempts last year. Good free throw shooter, does a little bit of everything, assists, steals, blocks. This is a valuable chess piece. They need him. This is concerning. This is a big deal. G.G. Jackson hurt. This one hurts more, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's right. We're not seeing the big names, right? Your Ja, your Desmond Bane, your Jaren Jackson Jr., even Marcus Smart, who again was injured most of last year. But these are still guys, Vince Williams, Gigi, that they're counting on for important rotation minutes throughout the season to get up into that top six. So again, it's just everybody else stay healthy, man. I'm knocking on all the wood in sight for the Memphis Grizzlies. Now down to my neck of the woods here, Mike, and just bad news. Devin Vassell underwent an off-season procedure on his foot and is expected to miss the start of the regular season. The Spurs have already come out and said they're not going to give another update on Vassell until the 1st of November. So, again, a team that you would think has play-in aspirations this year, even if maybe you and I don't think that they can climb that high in the West. It's not a great start for what I think they would consider their second or third most important young piece on the team. We could debate about Stephon Castle and where he falls in that list, but there's some major implications here, I think, for season-long fantasy to start the year, certainly for our best ball teams. What are the implications here that you see for the Spurs rotation with Devin Vassell missing at least the first 2 weeks?
Zach, it's much easier for a team to replace a scorer than it is a guy who just does a little bit of everything. And this reminds me of the Vince Williams situation. He was a critical piece. He's not the main go-to guy, but he can make jump shots, does a little bit of everything. This hurts. These sort of players are tougher to replace across the board because you can get somebody who's a solid role player who can get hot for a month, month and a half. But this one hurts a little bit because I am with you. We want to see the Spurs in the playoffs. We want to see Victor Wembanyama in the playoffs here. This one hurts a little bit. Hopefully he is back soon.
Maybe some early time as a starter for Stephon Castle, though, because who are the, you know, for me, it's Chris Paul, Devin Vassell, Harrison Barnes, Jeremy Sochan, and Victor Wembanyama would be my projected starting five. So is it Castle that fills in for Vassell? Is it Keldon Johnson? You go a little bit bigger. That's what I'm looking for here throughout the preseason games and this time next week. Those will be underway.
Yeah, Castle's a great call. He is the type of player who can step in. We saw him do very well in the summer league. He was a slow starter, but then he got going. That's a great call. Check out his rookie of the year odds. That's something, too, I think you can look at. Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that call. Terrence Mann, three-year, $47 million extension with the Clippers. We've talked about Terrence Mann before and why he wasn't included in the Paul George trade, right? Teams have called for many years trying to get Terrence Mann away from Los Angeles. And again, now he is signed, sealed, delivered as a part of this kind of mini window that they're trying to create around the last few years we have of James Harden and Kawhi Leonard together. And that number, very attractive in trade talks down the road if the Clippers turn the tank up to 11 over the next couple years. So nice little payday for Terrence Mann himself. I think win-win for me on this deal.
Yep, Terrence Mann, another one of these guys, great clubhouse guy, great guy you want on the court. Jenga piece, you can put him in the corner, he can get you scoring, whatever you need. Like Terrence Mann, and like you said, they kept it contract friendly, so you can find him on a team. He can be a late season move to help a team get over the hump. Yeah, but it's easy to see why people like Terrence Mann and why his teammates do as well.
Trey Lyles will miss at least 3 weeks with a groin injury there for the Sacramento Kings. So, again, mostly just affecting the training camp availability of Trey Lyles, but a piece of news nonetheless, and we touch on all of those here at the fast break. Let's go ahead and move on to Mark Williams out there in Charlotte. And this really makes me nervous for a guy I was investing again heavily in best ball this season. Mark Williams, strained tendon in his foot, will miss at least 2 weeks. So about half of camp. It's not a good start for a guy who missed the majority of the season with back issues last year, Mike.
No, Vince Williams, and he hurts me as well in best ball. These injuries sort of linger, and very efficient when he's on the court. Very good in first quarters, too. Whenever he was on the court, he played right away. He would fill up the score, the box score for you quickly. This is concerning. These sort of injuries with big guys just take longer than other players. So this one hurt a little bit, too. Hopefully we're okay, but yes, I'm heavily invested as well. Nothing like a late round center, Mr.
Yeah, I've pressed pause on clicking Mark Williams in those best ball drafts. And again, I think this whole week is a great example of why I didn't want to draft, you know, 100 plus teams by this point of draft season. So I'm about 50 in now. We got a lot of work to do over the next 3 weeks in the draft rooms, but getting, again, some more information from all the teams around the league. Jose Alvarado, Mike, signs a two-year, $9 million extension with the Pelicans. Of course, it's a more crowded backcourt in New Orleans this season with the acquisition of DeJounte Murray. Of course, Dyson Daniels goes out as well. But I think, again, kind of a win-win situation for all involved here because we know Jose Alvarado. We know his propensity for game-changing defensive plays. A hard worker, a good guy to have in the locker room, on the bench. And again, like, undrafted guy, right? Getting almost $10 million for a two-year deal? Not terrible.
No, Jose Alvarado, Georgia Tech, saw them when they won the ACC tournament. Fantastic job by him. Great leader, over a steal per game each of his 3 years. And what I love, Zach, is he's developed into a role. Yes, he's a defensive guy. You're getting 17 to 20 minutes of Jose Alvarado. That's what you're getting. And if he hits 37% from three-pointers again, he's going to have a great role. Great leader, excellent player, much like Terrence Mann you want on your team.
James Christian Middleton, one of my highest owned players in best ball, Mike. He will be limited to start camp, not yet cleared for full court five-on-five, but is expected to take part in, quote, most of the training camp activities. So what's your concern level here? Because I did not like to see this notification come across.
I am concerned. I am concerned because they have put, they are still trying to squeeze another title out of this group. And a lot of it is based on Chris Middleton. remember, when they needed the basket to clinch the title in game six, they were going to Middleton, not Giannis coming off the curl screen, short jumper. They need him for this team. Yes, they have Dame, but you need to space between the two bigs, between the two main players. Last year was concerned, only 55 games played. Year before that, only 33 games played. They need 60 games of Chris Middleton, I believe, or they need at least 50 to 55 in a completely healthy playoffs. I am concerned about this one because this team, as much as I love them, strikes me as a Jenga puzzle where it can go south very quickly.
Yeah, and I think for us, right from the fantasy side, my biggest concern is, do we see him limited minutes wise coming out of the gate? And 100%. How long does that last? You know, because we know that the fantasy efficiency, right, on a per minute basis is still there. It's still a guy that you would want. That's why I've been advocating for him in these best ball drafts where he's been drafted. But again, this is something that I'm not ending my acquisitions of Chris Middleton in these drafts, because if he falls far enough, I'm still going to grab some shares. So I'm not to like the Mark Williams. I'm just not drafting him anymore at this point, but it's another guy to keep an eye on from a fantasy perspective. So again, it's not the best news. I would love to hear he's full go in training camp, but we'll keep our eyes on Milwaukee. A couple of things.
It's a caveat emptor. 5 straight years, Zach, his scoring has declined.
Yep. Media day, a couple notes just from Monday morning down in Miami. Terry Rozier is cleared for camp after the neck issues that held him out late last season. But Josh Richardson will be limited to start camp due to a shoulder injury in New York, where they were dancing around the fact that Karl-Anthony Towns is their unofficial teammate. We learned that Jalen Brunson, as expected, cleared to participate in camp fully after that hand injury late in the playoffs last season. Up to Philly, Joel Embiid, this quote on managing his workload, and this has some fantasy implications, I think, because he says, quote, "We have to do whatever it takes to make sure that in the postseason, I am healthy. This year, there's no agenda. There's no All-Star. There's no All-NBA. He also added that he dropped 25 to 30 pounds in the offseason with the ultimate goal of arriving in the spring healthy for the postseason. So I think if you're a Philly fan, you love to hear that, right? This is the only thing left to check off for Joel Embiid, right? He's got a gold medal. He's got a league MVP, all NBA accolades multiple years. He needs that NBA championship. So from the real Hoops perspective, I think you got to love it. But when you're talking about taking him at the top of drafts, are we maybe not going to see any back-to-backs this year? Are we going to see minutes a little bit more limited? They've got Andre Drummond once again as his backup. So what's your take hearing Joel Embiid speak like this on media day?
The key to any fantasy draft, regardless of the sport, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, is you need your early round picks to produce. It is very hard to find a top level of production later in the draft. It can happen 100%. You're going after Chris Middleton. If he ends up playing 60, 65 games, you got yourself one of those guys. This is just enough, Zach, to knock my exposure down to Joel Embiid. He's saying all the right things. All of this is true. He wasn't healthy last year going to the playoffs. He gutted it out. But yes, I think it's just enough, because when you're looking at those first few guys, you don't need a lot to make you say, you know, I'm going to go a different direction.
Yep. Two more pieces here from today. The Time Lord, Robert Williams, of course, still with Portland after the trade last season, will be limited to start camp, but he is participating in 5-on-5 drills. So this is kind of nothing to me, Mike. We know about his injury situation, similar to some of the guys we've talked about. I just don't foresee that getting any better unless we can see him play a full season without those lower body issues. So this is kind of just business as usual for me when it comes to Robert Williams.
Yeah, Zach, Time Lord needs to be in a culture that's going to make him be focused, work hard, fight through the injuries. I don't know if he has that right now. This is a problem for me. I don't, you know, Time Lord had issues there on the Celtics, but was such a great piece for them. When he plays and he's on the court, he's efficient, but I don't like the environment here for Robert Williams.
Yeah, Ayton clinging in front of him. Might be tough to get any sort of meaningful minutes for Robert Williams. And lastly here, I do feel good about this one. So we can end on a positive with our media day news, because I've been advocating for Derek Lively in drafts ahead of Daniel Gafford, and Coach Kidd today saying that Derek Lively, quote, probably starts ahead of Daniel Gafford. So if we're going to get a probably one way or the other, I'm glad it's the way I've been leaning here in the preseason.
Yeah, Zach, doesn't surprise me after watching them last year. Love Daniel Gafford. He's great. He's an old man like me to a certain extent, but this was a move they had to make. Lively, especially in the playoffs, was dominant.
I will close out this week's fast break with, of course, our stock up and stock down. We're going to start with our stock down, and I'm going to go back kind of rehashing some things that I've talked about the last couple of weeks. But my stock down, Mike, is the WNBA playoffs in the first round, right? We talked about the race for the 8 seed with those three teams that were all 12 games under 500 and how I thought we could probably shorten that up, right? I know the league, right? Expansion into Portland, trying to get at least three more teams in over the next couple years. But you get to the playoffs this season. First round, no lower seed won a single game. Again, those are just best of three series. But I think, again, it proves the point. 8 teams right now in a 12-team league, it's too many.
Yep, totally agree. Need to have drama, especially when they lose Caitlin Clark. I am not saying take it easy, Cheryl Swoops. I'm not saying that she's the whole league. I'm saying that, but it's just a fact. When you lose that person, you're going to need your games. You're right on the money. And no one loves, I love the WNBA and really into this year. No one's loved it more than you have. So coming from you, this is a big, big deal.
Yeah. What's your stock down for the week, Mark?
Yeah, my stock down here. Folks, can we not get on every little thing we see in the women's game? Kelsey Plum, Spike Lee, give me more. I want more of that. I love Kelsey Plum, great player. Spike Lee, we want that. We want the hard fouls on Caitlin Clark. We want the trash talking. I can't get enough of it. I watch it over and over again. Can we stop criticizing? The WNBA is hotter than ever. It's an amazing product. I love it. It's so entertaining. Let him go. Stop the criticism. Chat. So Reggie Miller can do this to Spike Lee, but we're going to get on Kelsey Plum for Ark. What are we talking about? I thought it was great. Stock down to the critics of the Plum Spike Lee argument. That's my stock down.
I love it, Mike. We'll finish out with our stock ups for the week. I'm going right back to the W. Give me all the stock in the WNBA second round, because now we've got the teams we want to see. Liberty and Aces, Sun and Lynx. And unfortunately, my Aces dropped game one. Breonna Stewart was fantastic. And again, no surprises there. But my Aces, you know, got a steep climb here if they want to advance to their third straight WNBA finals. And then on the other side of the bracket, the 2-3 matchup, the Sun come away with a 3-point victory in game one. But I cannot wait to watch. This is going to be the first time, Mike, that I watch every game in a WNBA playoff series that is not involving my favorite team, the Aces. So again, that just trying to communicate like where I am as a fan, I'm now branching out because the level of basketball is so high. It's so sharp when you get down to the top four teams in this league. Stock up the second round. I can't wait for the rest of this.
Totally agree. Make the first round like the second round and we have ourselves the chef kiss. Totally agree. Well done.
What do you got for your stock up here to close out episode 12?
Well, he got traded, okay, to Minnesota, or maybe he has or will be traded. But I got to tell you, Dante DiVincenzo, I'm just going to take you down memory lane here. Stock up for Dante with what he did. John Beilein is a superior coach. And he said when Villanova beat Michigan back in, I think it was 2018, 79-62, he ended up saying that we had a game plan for everything, and he was fantastic. We did not have a game plan for Dante dropping 31 points, 5 of 7 from three-point range. They held one of the highest scoring teams you would see in college, Zach. Pascal Brunson was on that team, only scored 9 points. Jalen Brunson only scored 9 points in a championship game. On the other side, he had a good team, not great players, but solid. Stock up, Dante, because that was the game that I said, this guy's an NBA player, and he's carried it all the way through. Did a great job in the playoffs with the Knicks. Will do very well with the Timberwolves as well, assuming the trade goes through.
I love it. How about this for a narrative NBA Finals matchup? Knicks-Wolves. I wouldn't hate that. Oh, the league might, but you know, they would love to get the Knicks in there for sure.
So. Of course. Oh, it'd be great. That would be wonderful. Yeah, and the, when the Wolves are coming, you got Magic now chirping about Anthony Edwards. You have some drama there. It's good.
That'll do it for episode 12 of the FTN Fast Break Podcast. We appreciate you tuning in, sticking with us here on your Monday evening. We'll be back next week with another episode, of course, recapping the week that was after media day. We got practices, hopefully limiting, you know, minimal injuries coming out of this next week. We'll have some preseason games to recap as well. Enjoy the rest of your week, everybody. We'll do the same. We'll see you back here next Monday. Till then, he's Mike and I'm Zach. Goodbye. We'll be right back.